And today we welcome Congressman Matt Rosendale. Good morning, Matt.
Hey, John. How are you doing today?
We're doing.
Back there too.
No, Robin's off today. He's out gallivanting around, taking care of some medical issues again. Darn it, anyway.
How's everything?
Well, you know what? We're doing okay. And you're back there in D.C. Dealing with a lot of stuff there that's beyond my understanding.
It's quite the mess, I will tell you. But if it was running smooth, obviously there would be no need for me to be up here fighting.
You could be back here in Montana just enjoying what we enjoy.
Yeah, you're not kidding, and I assure you, I am planning on being back there next weekend to do some pheasant hunting on my ranch over in Glendive.
Okay. Well, in the meantime, we got a little business we got to deal with, and I am not even sure where to start here with all of that. Maybe we should start with the debt ceiling. It looks like at least we have another month or so before we have to look that one in the eye again.
I know, but you know, it's really a shame, John. I don't think that there's a single person listening on your radio that would go to their bank and try to run their household nor their business the way that the federal government runs their operations. It's one thing to generate debt. A lot of folks do that, but they certainly put a plan in place with which how they're going to pay it off. The banks require that. Only in the federal government can you continue to spend money without putting a plan in place, just a plan in place to demonstrate how you're going to pay it off. I mean, there's a very old saying, when you're in a hole, you know, in a deep hole, the first thing you have to do is stop digging. And all we see up here is this continuous desire to spend more money. I mean, we've gotten to the point, John, where we're not just trying to hold things in check. They have accelerated the spending, and they're trying to propose an additional $5-6 trillion worth of spending that is going to exacerbate the inflation problems that we have now and really hurt the working folks across the state of Montana.
So I guess the question I have is that where can we cut some of this, Matt?
Well, John, first of all, we need to take a hard look at the legislation that they're bringing forward and see where is it going to be truly invested, okay? And the parts of it that are going to be invested in building up our infrastructure, then those are things that you have a lot of common agreement on. The problem is that there are so many additional portions of all this legislation that don't have anything to do with hard dollars going into our infrastructure. As you and I have discussed many times, I've been a strong advocate for making sure that we have proper investments in our water systems, in our sewer systems, in our schools. I mean, our school system right now, the taxation component around the state of Montana is tricky, because you've got areas where the populations are very low and populations where the, you know, or areas where the populations are much greater, and it's easier to fund those school systems. So you have to do this whole balancing act, but you truly have to prioritize, again, just the way that we do in our households and say, is this something that is going to be invested that we're going to see a return on for a decade, two decades, three decades, or is it something that we're spending money on that literally is just going to cause us to spend more money? I will tell you, as everybody hears about the $3.5 trillion reconciliation bill, and they think that's a lot of money, that's not really the true cost of it. Because what they don't discuss is the $2 trillion in new taxes that are in that bill. What they also don't discuss is that there's several of those programs, whether you're talking about all the daycare, community college, dental and optical that they're trying to push into Medicare, that the funding levels either stop or get shifted over to the state within 3 to 5 years. All of those programs, all of those new programs. So it's much more expensive than $3.5 trillion. They just stop counting how much it costs after 3 to 5 years because they shifted over to the states or they just are silent, literally silent on where the money is going to come from into the future. And you just you couldn't go to the bank and present a business model that way. It wouldn't work.
Our guest today is Congressman Matt Rosendale. So, Matt, Governor Greg Gianforte and several governors went down to the southern border, and you've been down there. Senator Steve Daines has been down there. What's your takeaway at this point?
Let's sum it up in a couple of words, nice and easy. It is an absolute invasion of our southern border, and the hypocrisy that this administration has demonstrated by opening up that border and allowing millions of people to come across without being checked or looked at for disease and criminality. I mean, it is literally an open border as opposed to the northern border where we can't even allow families to go back and forth and celebrate weddings, births, and mourn deaths. I mean, it is absolutely bizarre to me when we look at the differences in the handling of these situations. I'll tell you, John, we've already shown that there's 1.5 million, a million and a half people that have been encountered on the southern border, that many have been released into the country without hearing dates for their consideration of their asylum status, because a lot of them are trying to claim this asylum status. And now even Mayorkas, Secretary of Homeland Security, has declared that there's probably going to be another 400,000 people come across the border in October. John, we are talking about, by the end of this year, over 2 million people, twice the population of the entire state of Montana. We have brought two additional states across the border as far as population, and we don't know who they are, and we don't know where they are. And by their very definition of being illegal immigrants, they can't work. No employer can hire them. So the taxpayers in Montana and across this nation are responsible for their education, their health care, their housing, their sustenance, their food. They are being treated better than our veterans are. I go into my committee hearings on a weekly basis, and I try to get the Veterans Administration to direct dollars, the billions of dollars that they're receiving, and direct that into health care for our veterans. And we can't get that done. But yet, the Biden administration has brought 2 million people into our country and is going to accommodate all their needs. And so it's a really big problem.
So what's the answer to the problem?
Oh, we got the answer. We don't have to work in theory. That's the thing. That's why it is so bad, this administration doing this. So if you were to reinstitute many of the policies that the Trump administration had put in place, so actually exercise and use Title 42, which defines or grants the ability for the government to screen people that might be bringing a safety or health hazard into the country, and to be able to keep them out. We should re-implement the MPP, which is the policy, again, that the Trump administration put in place and said, if you come to the border, you're going to claim asylum status. While you're awaiting your hearing, you will wait in Mexico. And
this but wait a minute. Mexico didn't want them. They didn't go along with that.
Well, they did when the Trump administration.
But they're not doing it now. They said, wait a minute, we're not going to do that anymore. So that didn't work.
It did work, John. I'm sorry, you're wrong. You're wrong, John. It did work. And what happens is when you got a leader in place that says, you will do this, you are our neighbor, and we have the ability through economic sanctions and our negotiations with you to make it happen, the Trump administration made it happen. So if it isn't happening now, there's one reason it isn't, because we've got weak leadership in place. So don't say it didn't work. It did work. We just had a different guy calling the shots at the time. Mm. And that goes the same with the Triangle countries down in Central America, okay? They're shipping people up now? Sure they are, because we have weak leadership in charge at the United States right now. And so they're not going down there and saying, you will not send these people across the border. And that's another part of the equation where Mexico was being forced to say, we're stopping these people on our southern border before they traverse all the way through our country. And what about all the folks that are coming from South America, the Haitians? Those people aren't flying in from Haiti and landing in Mexico and coming across the border. Those people actually have been located in South America since about 2010, since the earthquake, and now they're coming back up through. So this is all a direct result of lack of leadership and the lack of implementation of the tools that are available for our government to use to make sure that we don't have this invasion take place on the southern border, not to mention what it's doing to our Border Patrol agents and their morale as they're being forced to process people and not be able to go after the many, many criminal elements that are coming through the areas that aren't protected because, oh, by the way, we stopped construction on the border wall that does work. And I've talked to the local sheriffs down there, and I've talked to the Border Patrol down there, and I've talked to the ranchers and farmers down there, and it does work.
Well, the Biden administration did send thousands of them back, put them on airplanes, and sent them back to Haiti. So, and there aren't any more under the bridges down there. So, there's some movement going on there, Matt. But
thousands of people being sent back to Haiti when you've got millions coming into the country just doesn't cut it.
Well, I'm not sure that, Haiti's one thing, but we've also got other portions of the border there, too. So that's just one area there in Texas. We've got Arizona. And we've got New Mexico, so we've got a bigger section of it there, and I think that's probably what you're talking about.
The entire border is having problems, and again, that's because we're being forced to direct resources, all of the resources, over to the Del Rio sector because of the cartel. They're businessmen. They understand where to push people through. They get paid for every person, every product that comes across the border, John. And so they have learned to push all these people in one spot, and that takes their high-value targets and allows them to cross over in a different spot. A high-value target can be a terrorist, or a high-value target can be a load of heroin or meth or fentanyl. And so they're just pushing those folks to another area. And while we're talking about meth and fentanyl, let's talk about what all this illegal immigration is doing to the state of Montana. As it lands, where does it go? Straight up high, Interstate 15 from California, and then it hits our state. And the first places that these criminal element go to are our reservations, the 7 reservations, and they go and they set up bases of operations, and they have human trafficking that they're pushing out. They're pushing out the drugs, and they're not just hitting the communities around the state of Montana. They are spreading out like a cancer throughout our entire nation, and it is absolutely terrible. And again, we know how to stop it. It's not theoretical. It's been demonstrated. The amount of people that are coming across the border right now, it's hundreds of percentages above what that had been reduced to during the Trump administration.
Our guest is Congressman Matt Rosendale. And Matt, for I guess it's been about 4 decades now, you've the people before you have been all by yourself representing Montana. Now we have an opportunity for a second seat in the halls of Congress, in the House of Representatives. So you're going to have somebody else with you this time next year. Well, this time next year. But
yeah,
do you have any idea where the district lines are going to go?
No, I mean, the redistricting commission put the 9 maps out last week that they're waiting for the public to give input on. And I personally believe that most of the people across the state are looking towards a map that establishes an east-west district setup similar to the traditional district that we had for, as you said, many years before we lost the seat in 92. And, I just think generally that's what they want. I hope that the commission, it's clear. It's 3-2 Democrat majority, and I'm just hoping that they can keep the politics out of it as much as possible so that we can have those two traditional seats drawn. Clearly, with my ranch being over in Glendive, that's my address. I'm going to be representing the Eastern District, and whether that stretches all the way to Idaho or whether that stretches over to, strike the line over to Bozeman, I'm going to be representing the Eastern side. And I just certainly hope that we can get another good colleague that's going to look out for the entire state the same as I try to do on a daily basis.
Yeah, it's an interesting way the census has laid out our state here with the big population growth centers in the Flathead here and then in Gallatin County and Yellowstone County. It's kind of a lopsided sort of a thing, so it's going to be interesting to see how they set it up. I can't imagine it any other way than an east-west sort of a thing. The question I have is whether the dividing line will be Missoula or Great Falls or Helena.
Right, right. And, there's a way. There's several maps that show it in the traditional east-west configuration. And then there are several other configurations that try to cluster the Western District down into that southwest corner. And let's call it what it is. That is a desire by the Democratic Party that has the control of the majority of the commission to draw a district that's going to be more favorable to the Democrats. I mean, let's call it what it is. People are so afraid, John, to say the emperor's not wearing clothes. that's what the problem is in most of politics. That's why you've got people that say, why won't this person stand up and just say what's going on? Well, that's my job. And I'm going to call it like it is. They want to draw a district in the southwest corner that the Democrats have a higher likelihood of winning the seat instead of drawing a line that the people across the state of Montana are looking for that establishes the east-west districts.
Well, either way, you're going to be in the Eastern District because you live there. But, it's weird to me that you don't have to live in the district that you represent.
Right. Right. You can live anywhere in the state. That is exactly right. And it's not so bad for Montana. But think about those states that have 10 House seats or 15 House seats. And all of a sudden, you can live in one part of the state and actually run in the other one. So, yeah, you can do that.
Oh, well, I'm just glad you live where you live and you represent what you represent. Matt Rosendale, as always, it's a pleasure. Thank you for a great conversation this morning.
John, thanks for having me on. I always love joining you.
All right.
Have a great day.
You too. Take care now.